Good evening, everyone. This is Chuck, K04K, and welcome to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. This net operates on and through the Minnesota, Wisconsin room number 21493. This is an open technical net, but please check in through net control. Tonight's net control stations are K04K Chuck, K9EQ Chris, Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta Otis, November 0 Yankee Quebec Steve, and, well, that's it right now. Maybe there'll be more. There generally is. The Bakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Bakken, who is the founder of Medtronic. Earl was always interested in radio and is a founding sponsor of the Pathic Museum of Broadcasting. Earl allows us to use his name because he's a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about Bars and Earl at www.w0mdt.com. The 444.075 and the 444.525 operate from the Medtronic facility near Highway 10 and I-35W in Moundsview, Minnesota. Remember, there's a chat window available at hamoperator.com. Select MinWiz and then MinWiz Chat. Net Control will only be taking check-ins from stations with traffic for the net. Please reply with your name, city, and state. We'll acknowledge your call, put it on the list in the order received. If for some reason you can't get in, try that chat window at hamoperator.com. Again, select MinWiz and then MinWiz Chat. I have one announcement for the net. Ham's in the Park. Long Lake Regional Park, June 12th, starts at noon. I guess there was many contacts made over last weekend. And actually, we're running into the situation here where the area that we seemed so big years ago, we're running out of space, so we might have to do something different. But we'll still have hams in the park, just have to figure it out. Anybody else with an announcement for the net, please check in now. Give us your name, city, and state. All right, hearing no further announcements, we'll move into the check-in portion of the night. Remember, we're only taking check-ins from stations with traffic or comments for the net. So if you've got that, give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead now. Like a real quiet evening tonight, so I'll try it again. See if anybody else is out there. With comments or questions for the net, now's your chance. Go ahead now. Name, city, and state.
K90Q, I guess I got an update on 7250 availability.
All right, Chris, why don't you go ahead and let us know what you learned about that.
Okay, I just checked HRO, and they don't have them anymore. The reason I check HRO is that it's very easy to check all their locations. And by looking at how many stores have what, you know, you can get an idea of availability and things like that. And no listings for the 7250. So that new old stock is gone. Anyway, I am kind of wondering, there are significant supply chain issues in the industry. And I'm kind of wondering how it is going to affect the availability of some of the amateur radio equipment across the manufacturers. You're seeing certain models of radios that are just unobtainium. And anyway, we will see how that goes. Some of the ASU stuff seems to be available, so hopefully that will hold true. Back to net, this is K90Q.
All right, and I guess Otis has something there. Whiskey 4, India Oscar Delta, Otis, go ahead with that follow-up.
Well, good evening, Chuck, and everyone else on the net, and as always, Chris is a plethora of information. Yeah, we had shared that as far as the information that we've got as far as the delayed shipments. So I guess it was the 7250s were new old stock. So once the supplies are gone, they're gone. And Chris is indeed correct. There seems to be a shortage of amateur radio equipment. And one thing that I do from time to time, apparently I get bored. What I've been doing during lunch is listening in on John Crook and Yezu's podcast, N9UPC, and his latest version of that. It's about 20 minutes long. It was released last Wednesday, May 5th, and he actually discussed the rumor mill and what have you as far as what is in production and what isn't in production as far as the HTs, the mobiles, and the bases. So primarily, everything that we've told you here on the net is correct. Once the 7250s are gone, they're gone, and they're obsolete, the way he's describing it. So if you happen to desire one of those and find them available, it might be the time to snap one up. Somewhat interesting podcast as far as what was available, what is in production but no longer available because everyone has scarfed them up. So apparently someone has been utilizing the stimulus money to purchase amateur radio equipment, and there is a limited supply. So he goes through the HTs, the mobile radios, and the base radios. So pretty interesting. Available wherever you normally listen to podcasts. We do it from an Apple device, so, you know, there's other mediums to do that, but pretty interesting. You learn some things from time to time, but just wanted to share that. W4IOD, back to net control.
All right, thank you very much, Otis and Chris both. That does explain it, what happened, and why we got the notice that it was being discontinued, and then more of them kept showing up. I keep reading about how many hundreds of ships are off the port of Los Angeles waiting to be unloaded, so that's probably part of it also. All right, if you've got a question or a comment for the net, now's your chance. Check in now. Name, city, and state. Go ahead. Well, let's try it. There's no audio there, but we'll try for Leroy. Whiskey Delta 9, Hotel Oscar Tango, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Go ahead.
My system dropped out. I had to rekey to bring it back up. Sorry, Chuck. WD9HOT.
Darn it. I was hoping you had a question because it had been so quiet here. Well, okay. Let's try it again. Looking for anybody else with a question or a comment for the net. Talk about all things Yaesu Fusion. Name, city, and state. Go ahead. This is
Kilo 8 Alpha Mike Papa, Tom from Belleville, Michigan.
All right, Kilo 8 Alpha Mike Papa, Tom, Bellevue, Michigan. Go ahead. What do you got for us tonight?
I'm looking at the FTM 400 XDR and wondering how that compares with the FTM 300 DR. Pros and cons. I can't find a good comprehensive side-by-side comparison online. And to me, it seems like the 400 XDR is better radio, but the 300 DR is newer. I'm wondering what feedback you guys have.
Well, I can try. I've got both of them, and I've used both of them pretty extensively. So, FTM 400. Pros and cons. The radio is better built, I will admit that. The new ones, the DRs, are awesome. They've got better internal cooling, which has been also migrated to the 300s. Uses relays to switch back and forth inside rather than integrated circuits. That was a trouble in the beginning, but they've got it worked out now that they live a long time, and better discrimination for close channel rejection. So that's a good thing. The touchscreen is, once you learn how to navigate it, it's really fun. It's easy to use, touch the screen, move things around, change all the menus are set up. You can do an awful lot with it. It's an awesome radio that way. Biggest downfall that I find for the FTM-400 is it's digital only on the AVFO. There is no digital on the VVFO. So if you want to listen to two things in digital, well, you're kind of out of luck unless you set up a limited scan. Speaking of that, well, you can have a limited scan. You can have a scan list that's different for the A and B sides, which is kind of nice. All right, FTM-300. A little cheaper. It still can be set up in about the same space as a 400, but the head is a little smaller and it's not touchscreen. I find it a little less intuitive to use. It's much harder to program from the face, but it has dual digital. So if dual digital is a big deal for you, it is for me and my vehicles. I really like that. That was the selling point for me. It doesn't discriminate. It has more noise in it than I can tell, driving by noisy spots. It just doesn't do as well that way. But all in all, is also a very good radio. Well, we'll throw it out there and see if anybody else has comments pro or con for either one. So if you've got a comment on this question, go ahead and check in now. All right. Well, Tom, I guess nobody else wants to add in. Maybe you can tell us what you're seeing from your side of the news. So, Kilo 8, Alpha Mike Papa. Tom, go ahead with your comment on this question.
All right. Thank you very much for the information so far. Interesting comment. The 300ER, you say, is digital on both A and B. Is that cross-band repeater capable or not?
Both the 400 and the 300 are crossband capable, but only in FM. They are not crossband capable in digital. And I also see here that Otis, Whiskey 4 and the Oscar Delta, has something to say. So, Otis, why don't you go ahead and step in, and we'll keep running with this one for a while. Go ahead.
All right, Chuck. Well, we'll try to help Tom out as far as what I've noticed in correlation to the 300 and 400. Just a quick comment as far as the crossband repeat. You are correct. It will only output analog. The 300's a little different than the 400. You can actually crossband repeat in digital and come out analog, but you cannot do digital to digital. I think the way John Crook explained that, no radio or repeater that Yaesu manufactures will ever crossband repeat digital to digital. So he just says something about signal degradation. I don't understand his process of that. I just figure they probably want to sell more radios. But the FTM-300 and... Pete has had an issue with some screen resistance or ghost images on the 300, but the display on the 300's a QVGA, full-color TFT display. It's not a touch screen, and there's some features that the 400 offers, Tom, that the 300 just flat won't do, and some people have some gripes as far as the distance not being displayed on the display as far as a banner like the 400 when the call automatically comes up, and the clock. We've had some discussions as far as having to push the display button and then touch actually going from there over to, that's the FT3. I'm getting confused here. I'm trying to stay focused. But there's a screen that you actually have to go to as far as the display. And for some folks, that's annoying, where the 400 automatically does it. So, you know, comparing apples to oranges, price, feature-wise, just my honest opinion, and, you know, everyone has one. Myself, the 400's worth the extra money, but that's just my personal opinion of it. It's one of those things where the 300 and 400 both are good radios. I'm not knocking either one of them. It's just, for me, the 400 has more features. It all depends on what you want to do. Now, myself, I have one of the 300 in the shack because I can monitor digital on both VFOA and VFOV. The 400 is in the vehicle. So your mileage may vary. Opinions vary as well, but that's just my personal opinion. Thank you, Chuck. W4IOD, back to net control. Hopefully that helps Tom out.
Thank you, Otis, and back to you, Tom. Kilo 8, Alpha Mike Papa. Anything else about that that you'd like to question?
No, I thank you guys for your help. That's very good information. Do you foresee anything in the near future on the horizon for Yaesu to come up with a dual digital crossband repeater type setup?
Well, John Crook has said several times that that's not going to happen. So, I rather doubt that that's going to be around. The only way to do digital is through a repeater. So, I don't see a crossband on the 300 or whatever they would be doing up there. The other thing you got to remember is these radios are cooling limited, so you start using it in crossband, you're only going to want to have it on the low power setting because they get hot in a hurry. I do remember with the, I forgot the model number, the earlier ones, that if you ran them on, you know, even the mid-level, they would get burning hot for about 15 or 20 minutes of crossbanding. Because that's heavy use for them. So, Tom, good luck. Enjoy whichever one you pick, and well, maybe you can come back on another net and let us know what swayed you. With that, I'm going to move on, see if there are any other questions or comments for the net. Name, city, and state. Go ahead, Tom, if you've got a comment or a question for the net.
Roberto? WA9E, Glendale Heights, Illinois, with a question. I have AMS on. I don't know if you're copying me, Chuck. WA9E, Roberto in Glendale Heights, with a question.
This is KE8QBR, Richard, Michigan.
All right, acknowledging Whiskey Alpha 9 Echo Roberto out of Glendale Heights, Illinois, and Kilo Echo 8 Quebec Bravo Romeo Richard out of Michigan. Roberto, why don't you go ahead with your question or comment?
Hi, Chuck. Thought of something to ask tonight. On the 300, is the mic gain set so that you don't have to change it between FM and analog? Are they more closely aligned, is my question. And then my comment is that a friend of mine has repaired a couple of 400s for me, and he ordered the combination final. And the combination final in the first sets that he ordered were $35. And since then, he has needed some more, and the price has gone to $50. So there has been a price increase on the finals for the older 400. I don't know if it's the same final as the X model, has, but for the older model, there was just recently a price increase. WA90.
All right, a couple things here. From Chris, K9EQ, all of the radios use the same PA, power amp, device. So that's just across the board. I would assume that they got a price increase and passed it along. And both for Otis and myself, I do not have to change the mic gain on the 300, switching from digital to analog. It's the same as the 400. Just to set it and forget it is what I've been able to do. It is also sensitive, so for most people, you have to decrease it from the factory setting a couple numbers, but that's it. Back to you, Roberto.
Oh, very good, very good. That's a nice improvement. So, glad to hear it. Thank you. I'm happy to... I think he's got one of my... the fellow that did these repairs, he had a VHF failure on his 100 and a UHF failure on his other 100. The 100 with the VHF failure he used on high power a great deal in the mobile. UHF failure on the unit at home, he can't explain, but he did change that combination final. And both of them, they both came back up to spec, and he's made some adjustments as to what he's seen on YouTube to reduce the overall power, I think, to top end at 40 watts rather than 45 or 48, and has a tendency to operate them at medium power now, and I'll be interested to see how hot my 400s are when I get them back. If there's any improvement in the device, or if the design still lends itself for them to getting very hot. My X, the 400 XDR runs cool as a cucumber on high power. My other two, especially on UHF, run as hot as a pistol. And one of them actually shorted to the point where it was blowing the fuse on UHF. WA9E.
Yep, I think what you would find on that, Roberto, is Chris, K9EQ, actually suggested some changes to Yaesu and how they design things. And the early 400s, while they have a fan that runs on the heatsink, it did not blow any air inside over the PA. They changed that. They put some holes on the back of the heatsink so that air could get into the radio, and it blows right across the PA. That's the biggest difference, that there's more airflow in the XDRs and really keeps them a lot cooler. It was a really nice change that most people don't probably see in the radios, but it did well, and it was one of the things Chris suggested to them, and they carried it through. Back to you, Roberto.
My friend, Mike Keenan, KQX, who did the repairs, he was a little bit timid of making those holes into the heatsink or the, I don't know if that's a cabinet wall or what that needs to have the holes installed, but he didn't want any filings getting into any part of the radio, so he did not do that upgrade because of the chance of any filings getting into other parts of the radio.
That'd be A-I-E. All right, Roberto. Well, I had the same issue and didn't do it for the same reason. So he's in good company, I guess. Thanks for an excellent question. Appreciate you checking in tonight. Next on my list is a newcomer, Kilo Echo 8, Quebec Bravo Romeo Richard out of Grosse Pointe, Michigan. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, Chuck, I'm a new ham, and I got a 300, which I really like. I looked at both the 300 and 400, and price difference was a big one. Also, where I was mounting it in the vehicle, the 300 made a better footprint than the 400, and I'd heard about the final problems with the 400, so I decided to just get the 300, and I really like it. I have a couple questions and a couple categories. One is there a wish list for Yaesu that they can add through firmware to the radios, and how do we submit that? And the next question has to do with power. Is there a way to make your power levels show up in different colors so that when I change it while I'm driving, I can tell what color it is and know what power I'm at versus trying to look at the radio and read the fine print?
All right, there is no way to change the radio to show the power output in color. There's a lot of things that we made a wish list and actually sent it into Yaesu. Yaesu wish list equals black hole. Go ahead and submit it. Whether they see it or not is quite another question. N9UPC, Yaesu sales manager, says contact Yaesu directly. So send them an email and, well, good luck on your finding the black hole. Maybe you'll have better luck than the rest of us did. Back to you, Richard.
Okay. I can understand those black holes. I've dealt with them most of my life. So the next question I have, and maybe I'm missing it, is there a way to tell what power you're transmitting at on the 300 without hitting the power button, which changes your level that you're actually at?
Back to you. Well, you're going to have to give me a minute here. I've got my 300 in the truck, and I'm on my base station, so I'm kind of looking for the meter here that tells you what's going on. I'll see if I can find it in the book. I think there is. Power meter, yeah, power level. So it shows the power level underneath the number for the frequency on the upper and lower by how far it goes across. It doesn't actually say anything. You just did have to basically know here's where low power goes, here's where medium power, and there's where high power is. But you can see it when you transmit. It's the same as the S meter, how far it goes across the bottom bar there. Back to you.
Well, thank you, Chuck, for reminding me about that. I do see that it does have the different levels based on what your power is set at, so I can take care of that while I'm driving and figure out what power level I'm actually at. Next question has to do with the PL tone, and wondered if there's a way to change the PL tone for one channel only instead of changing it for all of them when you're just entering through the VFO instead of having pre-programmed channels.
The answer to that is no. While you're in the VFO mode, what you put in is what's there. So if you put it into the VFO, it's in, and you can't do that. And I have Otis here that says he can help on some of these questions. So Otis, Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta, why don't you go ahead? You got some more answers for us.
All right, Chuck, thank you. Let's see if we can get in here and help Richard out on that. Now, there is another way that I utilize the power on the FTM 3, and that's on the SSM85D microphone. Now, I could start nitpicking the radio. I felt like I was trying to help. I'm trying to remember the name, and forgive me. Tom, I believe. You can nitpick the radio apart, but there are four buttons at the bottom of the SSM85D microphone. Three of them you can assign, one of them you cannot. I think me and Pete and Chuck all discussed that when we got it. For me, I think the third button I have, I don't use it that much, so forgive me. The third button is, well, squelch, and the fourth button is the power. So I have a little ribbon that pops up when I hit the P4. That'll take me low, medium, and high. So that's another way of scrolling through your power settings. So don't forget about the programmable buttons at the bottom of the SF's M85D microphone. And Chuck is correct. The only way I know to actually assign that PL tone to the certain frequency is to go to the memory mode. If you set it on VFO mode, you will be doing it each time. Chuck, hopefully that helps Richard out, and thanks for letting me in there. W4IOD, back to net control.
Thank you, Otis. It's always good to be backed up and know that I'm talking the right way. So, Richard, did that answer your questions for this evening?
Thank you, Chuck and Otis. I appreciate those answers. Yeah, I already programmed the power button into one of my four buttons on the bottom and found that to be very helpful. It's just now that I know that I can look at the S meter and tell what power I'm at, that answers the question without having to go through the whole thing and look at the actual ribbon as I change it.
All right, well, glad we can help out. That's what we're here for. Richard, enjoy your new radio. Enjoy the ham radio hobby. And, well, if you've got more use and questions, come on back and ask them. I'm going to move on. If you've got a question or comment for the net, name, city, and state. This is Chuck with the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Go ahead with those questions or comments now.
WA9E. Glendale Heights, Illinois, with a comment.
All right, acknowledging Whiskey Alpha 9 Echo, Roberto. Go ahead with your comment.
I use one of the cross needle small diamond inline meters to monitor my antenna outboard of the radio. And so if I want to see what power level I'm set at, I just take a look at the needle, WA9E.
Yeah, that is another way to do it. I guess it's a little harder while you're driving, but you can tell you're a real ham because you wanted an external meter to really know what you're doing. Thanks, Roberto. Again, looking for more people with questions or comments for the net. Go ahead.
Yeah, just one other comment here for you, Chuck. The internal metering does not tell you accurate power output. It's just an indicator. You can have a failed transmitter, and the high, medium, and low setting on the screen is not accurate as to what the output of the radio is. In the old days it was, but because they sampled it, but now it's not. It's just a memory function. WA9.
All right, thanks, Roberto. And yeah, you're right. If you want to be right, you need to have the watt meter set up. But I think his question was more to the point of whether it was just high, medium, or low. Good point. Moving on, any more comments or questions for the net? Give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead.
Kilowatt 9 Echo, Quebec.
That was the comment.
All right, KE6 Golf Yankee Delta, Bob, Irving, California. Go ahead, what do you got for us tonight?
Well, hopefully not beating a dead horse here, but just a couple more comments on the differences in the 3 to and the 400. I don't have a 300, but I've looked at it and heard some of the other comments, but my research has shown a couple other things, and it's kind of relating also to the power question. On the 400, you can set a soft key at the bottom of the radio. There's four available there, and you can set one of them for power levels, and it will show high, medium, and low. So that's one thing that the 400 will do that the 300 may not. Secondly, I believe the 300, you can actually set the channel specifically for digital. If you want, let's say, your channel 5 to be a certain repeater that's set for WireSX Digital, you can set it for that and turn to channel 5 and away you go. Whereas on the 400, I believe that the digital setting is a global type setting. So if you moved off of that particular repeater that's digital, you'll have to make sure that if you move to an analog repeater that you take it off of digital. So that's a negative of the 400 compared to the 300, as far as I can tell, Rob. Right? Also, I believe, unless they've changed it, the 400 comes with an SCU20 cable for its firmware updates. And if you have that cable, you can do WireSX without having to purchase anything new, although it will only let you do digital wires rooms and not analog, but it does give you that cable. And so even though there's a price savings on the 300, that cable itself, if you buy it in that kit, is going to run you another $60-$70. So having that cable can come in handy. So that's another difference, I believe. And someone can correct me if the new Yaesu 400s don't come with that cable, but I believe they still do because it's required for firmware updates. So that's what I got to add to that difference there. So hopefully that'll help too. This is KE6GYD back to Nick.
Thanks, Bob, for the heads up. And it's good to have more people chiming in on what they like about this so we can help Tom out on which way to run, the 300 or the 400. Appreciate the input, and we'll try again. Name, city, state. If you've got comments or questions for the net, go ahead, Tom.
K3F ZT, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Name here is Steve. Looking for some advice if I want to set up a WireSX room. I have an FT991 and an FT3DR.
All right, Steve, thanks for checking in. Kilo 3, Fox Zulu Tango. Probably going to need a little bit more information. Do you want to set up a room? Or do you just want to be able to talk on WireSX? Because it makes you go two different ways. Why don't you come on back to that?
Yeah, thanks very much for the clarifying question. I really don't think I want a room. And clearly, I'm speaking on WireSX right now via the K3PDR, Philadelphia Digital Radio Association repeater. I also use W3QV. WireSX system of the Philmont Mobile Radio Club. But I just find the DMR with a hotspot so darn easy, and I've been using a hotspot with YSF a little bit too. But, of course, there you're depending on linkages. So I'm wondering what I have to do to set up a true WireSX connection with one or the other or yet another fusion-capable radio. Over.
All right, I think we've got enough information there. So, Otis, Whiskey 4, India, Oscar Delta, I know you've set it up with the FT3, so I'm going to send it to you. So, Otis, go ahead and take it.
All right, Chuck. Well, the one thing about using HTs as a node radio, they'll work fine as far as doing them on a instrument basis, or limited, if you will. I don't believe I would use a FT3 or any HT for anything as far as a busy room or on a permanent basis because of the lack of cooling on that. And then as far as setting up the portable HRI mode, yeah, they work great. You have the ability to go direct or RF. So it's one of the things of it's a matter of personal preference, not only the added expense, but obviously if you're going to go RF, you're going to have another radio to transmit into. The 991 is an overkill. It's a great rig. I've got one in front of me. But it's one of those things where bang for buck, you're pretty much, you've got a lot of money invested in that rig to keep it tied up, just digital. It's a great HF rig. But I would be more inclined to actually pick up one of the mobiles to do a PDN if I was going to do it, or a portable HRI or node radio, and then use one of the HTs to actually transmit into it. I found that to be more dependable and easier on the equipment. Just my recommendations, and if I didn't answer the question, specifically, please let us know, and we'll try to go forward from there. Chuck, W4IOD, back to net control.
Thank you, Otis. And Steve, back to you. Did that get you pointed in the right direction, or do you need a little more help?
Well, thank you. Let me try to narrow my question down. So if I get an HRI 200 and hook it up to the computer, I still need another radio if I want to use my HT. I guess I'm a little confused. Because I know the 991 can work C4FM into a wires X repeater, but my understanding is it can't work with the HRI 200, this K3FCT.
All right, I'm going to kick it back to Otis, Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta. Go ahead.
Okay, Steve, well, I'm going to try to clarify that for you. The HRI 200, you only need that if you want the ability to host a room, to store files as far as pictures and what have you on the WiresX system, because that's the nice thing about System Fusion. On SimpleX or repeater to repeater, you can actually send text and pictures, and all that will go across pretty much without a hitch, as long as no one keys up on you on WiresX, and we've tried that here in the MinWiz room. It actually has to be uploaded, and that's where the HRI 200 comes in. So think of that. If you want to host your own individual room, you'll need an HRI 200. Then you have to decide whether you want to go analog or digital. If you want to go digital, you have to actually have an FTM 100. One of the mid to higher-end radios, the 7250s, the FTM 3200s, will not do it. I would recommend one of the mobiles. The FTM 100D is obsolete. The FTM 300 will do it. The FTM 400 XD will do it. The 991 is a great radio, and you can transmit back into your personal node or HRI, depending on how you want to go with it, either or, with or without the HRI 200 from the 991. You don't have to buy an HT. You can transmit back into your node radio just like you would an actual repeater. You just assign it a simple frequency and utilize it that way. or you can actually set the FTM 300 up to go to direct or RF, however you would like to do it, without the HRI 200. So I'm not trying to confuse you. There's just several options that I'm throwing at you probably pretty quickly, so hopefully we're not confusing you. System fusion is confusing enough sometimes, but that is my recommendation to you if you just want to do it without hosting your own room to actually pick up a mobile, more so than tie up the 991. That's a lot of radio to be trying to do something like that with. Hopefully that clears things up, Chuck. W4IOD, back to net control.
Thank you, Otis, and I truly agree with you tying up a 991 for using as a link radio is just probably not good. But you also could use a hotspot. It does have some limitations. Like you're doing with your DMR, maybe even use the same one to use with the YSF network. Steve, back to you. Did we completely confuse you? How about that?
Well, thanks very much. No, actually, this has been very helpful. There was no chance I'm going to use my 991. As a link radio. My reading is, I'm not sure it can function that way, but regardless, I didn't just get my extra last week and looked at the improving sunspot cycle to tie up my HF rig. But it sounds like I need to pick up a mobile and maybe I can find a used one and see what we can do from there. Thanks so much. I just stumbled on you folks checking out my various Wires X repeaters locally, and it's a nice thing that you do. I appreciate it, and I'm grateful for the time you took with my problem. 73, but I'll be listening. This is K3FZT in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
All right, Kilo 3, Fox Zulu Tango, Steve. Thanks for finding us, and excellent question. That's what we're here for, is to help people out on stuff like that. That's what we do. I am going to make this the last call for the net. If you've got a comment, question, go ahead and check in now. Name, city, and state. Go ahead now. Last call.
K90Q.
All right. K90Q, Chris, you're going to finish it out for us. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to follow up on the transistor replacement that was discussed earlier. And in poking around, I'm going to guess they got the replacement transistor from RF Parts because they're charging $50 for it. That's not entirely a good idea. The deal is that Kiesu has those transistors specially selected for them. The commercial transistor is rated for use in the commercial bands. And so, you know, it's a kind of a unique transistor because it's specified for operation of both 2 meters and 440. That means, you know, because you know what the specifications are in the, you know, commercial bands, you'd think they would be the same in the amateur bands, and that isn't always true. And so the transistors that Yaesu gets are selected for use in the amateur bands. They're the same transistor, it's just that the manufacturer, when they're testing them, if the parameters are within spec for the amateur bands, they go into one bin, and if they're commercial band, they go into the other bin. The transistor is made by Mitsubishi. And it's been a while since I've done this, but I went back to look at all the sources for Mitsubishi transistors. And I don't know what Mitsubishi is doing, but it seems like they're not doing the distributor thing anymore. So the minimum order appears to be 500 units, which is probably what RF Parts is doing. Local company, as it turns out, they're here in San Diego. So anyway, you kind of take your chances a little bit when you get the transistor from RF Parts for the following reasons. But I guess the thing that I am seeing is, you know, there may be some, you know, this coronavirus has really messed up a lot of things. And basically what I'm seeing with the Mitsubishi transistors is just a hard time getting any of them. So, you know, that might be some of the impact. I don't know. But it turns out Yaesu is able to produce radios that have that transistor in them. And by the way, I checked inventory. Yaesu is doing pretty well with their equipment. The FTM 300, though, appears to be out of stock just about everywhere, along with the FT 70, the FT 991, and the 891. As compared to ICOM, that basically doesn't have anything. The only HF radios they have available are the 705 and the 718, which are kind of low-end radios. And in D-Star, if you're into D-Star, there are no HDs available for D-Star. By no HDs available, I mean you can't buy them right now. They're not available, even though they might be on the market. So the only radios that do D-Star are the 5100, the 4100, and the 705, which is that low-power HF rig. Anyway, Kenwood seems to be doing better. All of their high-end radios out of stock. But the newer Yaesu HF rigs are in stock. Like I say, the 991 is. So the Fusion radios that aren't available right now are the 991, the FT-70, and the FTM-300. So I don't know what the deal is, availability on the 300. You check with your supplier or whatever, and they might have more information or put you on a waiting list. So that's all I have. The semiconductor, this thing has really messed up the auto industry. They're down a significant number of autos that they can't manufacture because they can't get the semiconductors. And I'm doing a little consulting work, and I've seen it for the work that I'm doing in the semiconductor industry. Although part of the deal is a lot of companies buy parts from a fabricator. You know, they're fabless companies, and there aren't that many fabless fab houses anymore, but the companies that own their own fab seem to be doing okay. So anyway, probably too much information, but there are serious issues in the electronic supply, and the rumors that I hear are that it's not going to fully recover until 2022 or 2023. Anyway, back to you, Chuck, K9EQ.
All right, Chris, thank you very much. It's nice to know what's going on and how it all fits together. I want to thank everybody for listening to the net. Remember, we meet here every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, and we cover all things fusion. Thanks for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Please allow 1 minute for rooms that wish to disconnect before resuming use of the room. This is Chuck, K0-4K, and everyone have a great week.
Give you a real quick check-in there, Chuck. There, EE3TGN, portable, and Windsor, no traffic. Have a good week.
K3FZT, this is KE0TAI.
KE0TAI, K3FZT, Steve here in West Mount Airy, Philadelphia.
This is KE0TAI, the name here is Gene. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the reason I was giving you a call is I was